They say it works when you work it, you know, and that we can only keep what we have by giving it away. Check it out.
My name is Fred Hart, and I'm an alcoholic. And this, welcome to the 39th annual Alzheimer's meeting. I made a remark to somebody earlier. The crowd is looking younger to me than it did. And it did when I used to come here in the 90s, I guess, sitting over on the window. I'm tickled for the turnout. We haven't been able to do this 2 years due to the pandemic. We weren't exactly sure how this would turn out. I understand from the kitchen they did well down there, so we thank everybody for doing that. I'd like to thank NABA for allowing us to use this fabulous facility year after year. They're a gracious host.
Hey, everybody. My name is Chet, and I am an alcoholic. It's a delight to always pick a speaker and have them come and show up and do a good job, and I know we're going to get that today. I called our speaker last year because we thought we were going to have one last year, but we decided at the last minute it was not a good idea. For some reason, we expected the Alzheimer's meeting was going to attract a lot of old people, and it was probably not a good idea in the middle of a pandemic, right? So we waited till this year, but I had gotten a speaker, and then I had the sad news to call him and say, look, we can't do it this year. I said, would you be up for next year? And he said, yeah, give me a call. And so when we decided at the end of September we were going to have this meeting, I called him and I said, hey, you remember me from last year? I'd never met our speaker before. And I said, are you still willing to speak? And he said, yes, sir, I am. And he said that NABA has always been a very special place for him because I think he went to his first AA meeting here. And so I'm looking forward to this. And I'd never met him until I went to the Rock, the men's workshop at Rock Eagle about 3 weeks ago. And he was the Friday night speaker. So I actually got to hear him ahead of time. And I walked up to him and I said, I know we've only talked on the phone. He turned around and said, you must be Chet. Yes, I am. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jewel.
Hey, y'all, my name is Jewel. I'm an alcoholic. Hey. I'm a drug addict. I got a few other problems they won't let me talk about in public. I was all right, man, until all them newcomers stood up. Then I got nervous. So they really want to hear stuff. But I felt better because this is an old-timer meeting, which means I got a lot of witnesses. Help me get my point across. Chet is right. I went into a halfway house back in 1986, and it's right down Buford Highway. And the first official AA meeting I came to was on a Friday night here at NABA. And the room's about as full as it is now. I was sitting in the back, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. I had no clue what I had gotten myself into. I was in trouble with the law. My wife was looking at me like I had farted. And here I am in this room full of people that all seem to be happy. I just had no clue. But lo and behold, over the next about 90 days, that's as long as I stayed in that halfway house, I received so much. I didn't even know it was love at the time. But people just cared for me. The kind of stuff I was going in clubs looking for was right here. I felt a part of, I felt welcomed, I felt just what I was looking for, man. I just did not know that this was what I was looking for. And these people at NABA, they railed hard on the halfway house. You say, you ain't going to start recovering until you get out of that doggone place. And I felt like that was the safest place in the world at the time. But this place, I heard my story told. The guy was up here on the podium. We were culturally opposites. And this guy told my story. It's the first time I heard somebody talk like I felt was in this room. And, you know, I got my sponsor out of this room. I got my first application and scholarship to the Rock out of this room. The first time I had a problem that I thought was going to make me drink, the man and his wife that took care of me that night were in this room, and Mickey's here today. They just took care of me, took me down to Denny's and gave me free food. I just loved me until I didn't drink that night. Let's just put it like that. Now, I want to tell y'all a few things. My first thing I'm going to tell you is about a disease. A disease is a disease because the symptoms of that disease affect each of the sufferers the same way. And treatment for that disease affects each of the sufferers the same way. And I say that because alcoholism is a disease. It's treatable. And most of our symptoms, one of these people stand up here and talk, tell a story, they're telling the symptoms. And I identified with that guy that night because he really was just explaining symptoms that I was suffering from. I had never heard him express that way. And I kept sitting here and I kept hearing those symptoms explained. So about 30 days after I got here, I became an alcoholic. The other thing about the disease is that the treatment of the disease treats each of the sufferers the same way. So if this was working for y'all, it would probably work for me. Now, I didn't know that at the time. I found out about this disease analogy much later in my recovery, but it's applicable because we got these new guys sitting in here. I always like to start with step 12 because you run out of time. Step 12 says something about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And we try to carry this message to other alcoholics. And the spiritual principle behind step 12 is service. And that'll lead me to all of the accolades I want to give to the people that, starting with Chet, the people that hosted me and my friend last night at dinner, the people that made the coffee. There are people who are just doing stuff so this meeting could work. And they say providence is the hand of God going before me, preparing the way, but he has workers. And those workers are our servants, and they take care of us. And if this place wasn't here, if they weren't taking up collections and paying the rent in the building, where would I have gone that Friday night? What would have been available to me that Friday night? What would have been available to my man back there who got the book if we weren't here? Somebody made this possible. And those are our servants. And they do this. You know what I'm saying? This is kind of like service, too, to get up here and talk about it. This ain't a, you know, we have celebrities and all of that, you know, stand-up comics and all of that. But then, hey, this is none of that. This is dead serious. This is to try to help somebody. I'm not up here to make myself feel good about what I said. I got to say something that will help you make it to tomorrow. And I know that. When I got here, the hair was someplace else, and I didn't have, things changed, right? I started, and after step 12, just like on the clock comes one. And one is the problem. One is serious. One is what drove me here. One. Most of the people that were sitting here when I got here told me what they did. They admitted that this thing was killing them and they couldn't do nothing about it. That's basically what they said. And this disease is so subtle until you don't realize. I can only speak for me. I did not realize that I was exhibiting the symptoms of alcoholism and addiction until the police came and got me. And I didn't realize it then. I just thought I was having bad luck. I got caught. I didn't know. Step one is the problem. Step two, most of us skip over it real quickly because it seems so simple, but step two is really the introduction to the solution. Step two is just introducing us to how this is going to get fixed. I was sitting on my porch during the pandemic, and one of my sponsees called me, and he had a flat tire. And he called me because he didn't have a tire iron to change. He had everything but the tire iron. And he needed to go to the parts store to get his tire iron. He called me. That is kind of like the essence of step two, believe it or not, because he had become powerless over his situation. His trip where he was going, he couldn't do it because he had a problem. And he thought to call me. I didn't live that far away. That was hope. He could at least call me. And there was a chance that he could get his tire iron and fix his tire. That was hope. I know I'm so nervous, believe it or not, that I might not be articulating this properly, but you hear what I'm trying to tell you. You know, a problem needs a solution. To just realize that there is a solution, there's hope. The tire didn't get fixed. He just decided to call me. You know what I'm saying? The problem was still there. But there was hope that we could get on the road to repairing it. Right? I had to still show up. We had to still go to the parts store. We had to still come back. And we had to still fix the tire. Now, the other steps are in there, and I'm not going to take y'all time, although I'm going to take all my time, because they did. Sitting up here twiddling my tongue for 45 minutes. Or about the history. Come on, let me talk, please. So I'm going to do mine. And they can run out of tape, everything. I'm going to still tell y'all why. Step two is also a formula. Belief plus power equals restoration. That's what it says. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. But then I got stuck on that word. I was sitting on the porch for 2 years, y'all. All I had to do was think about stuff, right? And I thought about sanity one day in the second step, and I looked it up. Most of us talk about insanity in meetings. As soon as we start talking about step two, we start talking about insanity. Well, that's just the implication. The step says being restored to sanity, which implies that I'm insane. But being restored to sanity, what are they talking about? Well, you look it up. I did. Sound thinking. I'm going to be restored to sound thinking. I got a whole bunch of these members. These ones above 20, they understand. They don't get in trouble. They make good decisions now. simple stuff, man. Not no complicated stuff about whether or not I'm going to drink the poison. That's easy. But little stuff, you know. Like the idea of me saying no to drugs. It takes a lot of recovery for somebody like me to get to that point. I had to go through some stuff to be able to just do that on reflex. I had to come up with some thinking. And it's kind of funny. As soon as they do that, the next thing they do is tell you, you need a higher power. Well, that ain't so bad because most of us get scared. I was scared of God when I got here. I was raised in church. I knew about God. I believe in God. So I was afraid that God was going to catch me and hold me responsible for all that stuff I did. I'm not an atheist or none of that. I was a outlaw. I was a convict, a religious convict. Please, God, let me hide in this AA meeting and maybe I'll be all right until they put out the baskets. I seen the baskets. It reminded me of church. I wanted to leave. I think not because y'all are doing anything bad, but they got God in here. But God is all through recovery. He's in it. But he's not in it the way we think he's in it because we the ones that ain't got sound thinking. We the ones think funny. We skillful skeptics. That's what we are. We always want to think a way the shoe can drop. You know, how is this going? How am I going to get caught? You know, we always wonder if we're going to get caught. But that's our thinking. The thing says a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. But that ain't a bad deal. If you think about it. If you can think about it. Being restored to sanity isn't a bad deal. But for me, I had to figure out exactly how I was insane in the first place. And I'm not going to do that by myself. Because the bottom line is, I think I got the answer for cancer. I'm thinking pretty good. I'm the one who thought of selling a van to the police, though. A stolen van to the police. I'm the one who thought that up. But I'm pretty good. Then they tell you to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand Him. And in these meetings, what I hear is people talking about gods other people's gods that they don't understand. I waste a whole lot of time criticizing other people's higher powers. And I don't find no time. I need this higher power if I'm going to do this. The book says we have to be fearless and thorough from the very start. That's what the book says and how it works. It says fearless and thorough from the very start. So I must have a problem. I must have a critical situation. Just think about it now. Unmanageability is the only evidence that I drank too much. If there was no unmanageability, I could lie to y'all and keep drinking. If you didn't see how bad I was screwing up, you couldn't shake your head at me. And most of our loved ones look at us and go, because they saw the evidence, right? My friend with the flat tire needed a power grader. He couldn't walk to the store. He needed the tie rod. So he called me. I ain't no big time deity. I'm just a guy with a car. But that was more than he had at the time. I was a power greater than him. Got him to the store. So this higher power got to get me to sound thinking. That's way more important than a flat tire. So I bought into that. I bought into the higher power thing. And basically what I was buying into, unbeknownst to me, is my sponsor and all his buddies. I just committed to the program. I was in this halfway house, and they required us to go to church every Sunday. I would go to church with one of the senior guys in the halfway house. It wasn't even the kind of church I was raised in. It was close. At the end of service, you know, at the end of every service, they want everybody to come back to the church and come to Christ and do all of that kind of stuff, right? Every Sunday, when that guy got up to do that, I left and went and smoked. And by the time I finished the cigarette and come back, that part of the service was over. We can go on back and start being recovering addicts again. You know what I'm saying? And this one particular Sunday, I left out right on time, right when he got up to offer people to come back to church. And I was walking down the sidewalk smoking. And I said this prayer. And my prayer was, God, I guess I done screwed this up. I guess you ought to go ahead on and do what you got to do. That was just me, my cigarette, and the sidewalk, right? Usually, I had it timed out right. The cigarette was finished. I would come back, my buddy partner would be coming out the door, and we would go home. This particular Sunday, I went back in the door, and the darn preacher was still standing there. Things that make you go, hmm. I went up there. I didn't stay in the church, but that was my first clue That was the first time, y'all, that I knew whoever my higher power was listening. That's the first time. And I never forgot that time. Now, he had spoken to me a couple times before I got here. The last night I used, and I'm one of these guys who really did ascribe to better living through chemistry, okay? The last night I used, the last time I was going to use, this voice said, if you do that, you'll never go home. I heard it like somebody was talking to me. I went home and I ended up in jail and I ended up here. And I haven't used since. Then the second time when I was getting into these steps was that day. He didn't say anything. He just did something. I got to tell you all this because it's part of what happened to me. You know, I've been here 36 years. I'm 69 years old. So the whole back half of my life been spent doing this. Right? So some things have happened to me that makes what happened to me before I got here clearer. Might have something to do with that sound thinking, right? So this you know, you have 2, 3, 7, and 11. God is all over this program, but we really, you know, we kind of like politically correct about it. But I'm up here talking today, so the worst that happened to me is I'll never be back. and you know, in order to do this, right, I'm not going to do this. I got clean, stayed clean 3 years, went to law school, became a lawyer. So, that's what I do. But just because of y'all is why I do it. But I was on the gazebo today, and, we have the right to remain silent, but we simply don't have the ability. And when it comes to these steps, man, you know, when it comes to me taking my own inventory, I don't have the ability. I just don't. I don't care how many of y'all line up calling y'all my sponsors and telling me I better do it, I'm going to get drunk. That ain't enough. I need a higher power to help me with the courage. And see, the third step is about faith. Faith. That means you believe something that ain't there. And it ain't hard. You know, you get lost, you ask somebody for directions, they tell you the directions. If you believe the directions, you follow. That's faith. That's all it is. If you believe the directions, you follow. No guarantee you're going to get where you're going. But if they're right, you're going to get where you go. That's faith. That's all we do. That's what this is about. If you believe what we're doing, just go to the next step. See what's happening. So, you know, I got that down, and I don't call it a burning bush experience. I call it a burning leaf experience. Because it wasn't a whole bush. It was just one little thing. You know what I'm saying? But I knew it. I knew it, though. I knew it. You know, I didn't have to fall prostrate and do all that other stuff. You know, I just went back in, and I was still in the halfway house for another 2 months. I ended up at a retreat, and I ended up with a sponsor, and I ended up working these steps. You know, I'm one of these ones that'll tell you, it works out pretty good. It has worked out pretty good for me. It has. You know, most of the stuff I got today, I did not have when I got here. When I picked up my white chip, my white key tag, my whatever we do today, I was just a college grad that was a bad-to-do happy hour guy. Wasn't doing nothing with what I had earned in college. And I was just a rampant hedonist. Whatever felt good, looked good, tasted good, I did it. No aim, no goal in life, none of that. Until Sunday came. When Sunday came, I was like, please forgive me for all that crap I did. Help me do it right next week. and promptly go do it all over again. But that process says, and we're talking about being restored to sanity, sound thinking. So I got to know exactly how unsound my thinking is. And the only way to do it is look at me. So that's what an inventory is about. It ain't about nothing crazy. And I always use my two-star inventories when I'm talking like this. I talk about the resentment I had at my mother and the resentment I had at my father. They're kind of like nutshells. They kind of cover everything that was wrong with me. I was coming home from the first grade with two of my buddies from the first grade. And my father was coming towards us. And I'm 6 years old. That's my dad. I'm glad to see him. I'm going to introduce him to my friends. And he picked me up, and he greeted my friends, and he put me down, and he continued walking. And I asked him, where was he going? And he said, I will be back. Your daddy tell you he'll be back. That's cool. I ain't seen him no more until I was 10 years old. And that was only for him to bring me a 3-speed racer that was too big. I spent the next 2 or 3 years chasing guys riding my bicycle around. And the resentment I had with my mother, check this out, y'all, was because we only had one parent at PTA. Everybody else had a mom and a dad. I just had a mom. And my friends were brutal. Where your daddy at? Where your daddy at? All I can tell him is he said he's coming back. Right? So I'm mad at my daddy because he lied to me. And I'm mad at my mama because I think she had something to do with him not being there. I don't know what it is. Right? But now, you go from 7 to 12. With those kind of things in your brain, you realize how insecure a brother could be? Not knowing, you know, not knowing where daddy at, not trusting his mama because she, you know, my thinking was screwed up about that until I got here and put it in my inventory. My thinking, it turns out that they didn't do nothing bad. I didn't even do nothing bad. Except the reactions I had to what I was thinking. I felt like women were the enemy, man, for a long time. I couldn't even say nothing to my mom because I was afraid that I would blurt out how I felt. And she tried. She tried hard. Now, I listened to everything she said, but she simply didn't know it because I couldn't communicate with her. And with this daddy thing, you know, I went searching for friends that weren't going to leave. Do you realize what kind of friends you could end up with simply because you don't want them to leave? Man, I befriended some of the most dangerous guys in my neighborhood. And they thought, you know, he's loyal, man. He's loyal. I just don't leave, man. Just don't put me out. You know, I got a little bit healthier with it. I joined the football team, and I played. I wasn't a star, but they could count on me being there because I wanted to be a part of. You know, that was just my thinking, and I didn't know what was going on with it. You know, people like the principal, the coach, the man, teachers, all of those guys, I tried to fit them in that spot that was missing. And it just didn't work. They still kept their high places in my life, but they weren't that guy who said he was coming back. When I finally met my father, he was dying. He had had two massive heart attacks. And the only thing he told me was not to wear sneakers. That's what he told me. I'm just telling y'all what he told me. Now I'm really confused. I've been wearing Converse all through high school. I was talking to tell me I can't wear sneakers. It was really... You see my point. I mean, it ain't got to be nothing dramatic in your story, man. It's just what happened to me. Okay? That's just two of them. I got some more, but number two that I can put out in public. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I found out a lot of stuff about me in them two resentments. My insecurity, my lack of trust, levels of disrespect I have for certain people, all of that. And it was just, you know, if you kind of looked like you might, if you sounded like my mama, we ain't going to go too far. You know what I'm saying? And it's none of y'all men could be the guy who I was waiting for. None of y'all could be the guy who I was waiting for. So the only reason I'm hanging with you is because I don't want you to tell me you're coming back. You know what I'm saying? So that's a lot of confusion. That's a lot of entanglement that I could not do alone. I could not untangle that by myself. But I got it wrote down. My sponsor came to the halfway house, and we did my fifth step. And that turkey told me some stuff that was very similar to mine. We had the same symptoms. Very similar symptoms. Something like that had happened to him, too. That was kind of like reassuring. Because after my fifth step, I came away with at least knowing that I'm no better or no worse than the next man. That was the basic thing I came away with my first step. I didn't feel no higher or no lower than the next man. And that was a level of freedom that I had that I hadn't enjoyed up to that point. Just by doing it. That's just fire. That ain't even halfway through. I spent the last few days, you know, trying to figure out how to explain 6 and 7 with regard to how it relates to sober thinking. I really did want to figure out how to articulate that, and the only thing I could come up with is that those things that had me thinking bad, not necessarily character defects or shortcomings, like we like to put them, you know, we fall in love with character defects and shortcomings or something that you have to take to the clinic or something like that, right? But those things that had me thinking bad or wrong, no matter what they were, I wanted God to do something with them. I didn't know enough about knowing which one of those I loved, you know, which attitude about something I had or liked. But from my own experiences with those two misunderstandings that I had about people who loved me dearly and who I loved dearly, I was confused. So whatever had me confused, I wanted my high power to get that for me. I didn't put categories on them like stealing, lying, cheating, and stuff like that, and going to, you know, having sex with people who I don't suppose. I didn't do that. Because with all of that, I had to make a decision to do it. I had to think it was all right to do. Now, if you pay attention to the scroll, right, I got a white chip, and up to this point in my life, that's the best thing that I had ever done. Just barely make it here to get a white chip. That's the best. I got a couple of degrees and all of that, right? Pretty good vocabulary and all of that, but the best thing I could come up with is a white chip. That was a pretty good decision. That was a pretty high quality decision. Didn't seem like it at the time. It seemed like the bottom of the barrel. But as time passed, that became the highest, I put that up there with the degrees. I had made a good decision. You know what I'm saying? Finally, I done did something right for a change. It took a minute for it to manifest itself. You know, that's why you got to get to be an old timer before you can really see what's happening, right? But that was the beginning, man. That was it. That's where it started. 6 and 7, you know, I just wanted God to deal with whatever was in my way. Now, the book says, whatever's in the way of being useful to him and your fellows, right? That's another one of them subtleties in there that we don't pay attention to. Useful to him and your fellows, right? Ain't got nothing to do with me. How about that? Now, I came in here, it was all about me. Could you get me a lawyer? Could you help me with my wife? Could you? You know what I'm saying? It was about me. But now I'm to this point where whatever's in the way of me being helpful to you and to my higher power, he needs to get that out the way so I can be. Now that's kind of radical. For old selfish knocker like me, that's kind of radical. But by this point in time, if you bought into the solution, because you don't think, you know, you don't think a four lug tire iron over a two lug tire iron makes any difference. Might seem kind of radical if you're used to just a four lug tire iron, right? But it's still gonna fix the tire. So, like, you know, when I got to that point, I really wasn't trying to litigate or mediate or discuss or negotiate which one of these things I wanted to get rid of. And a lot of us do that. I'm still in love with this. I'm going to carry it to my grave. Yeah, right. You know, old timers can talk like that, right? So, I just wanted all of it to be gone. And I'm going to tell you now, I was one of these, I guess you could call it now, I just bought into it, y'all. I bought into the directions. I bought into them. I seen too many good bits of evidence that it was working. If it wasn't working, this show put up a good show. Mickey had me. Man, I looked at Brian and said, if this worked for Brian, I got a shot. I mean, the evidence is here, man. So that's I didn't do it because I was, you know, thinking about me. I guess I was, because I don't know about you. I suffered. I'm like the Indian said, I hurt easy, and I don't suffer well. I'm miserable when I'm suffering. I don't like that, man. I like this better. I like being able to sit in the jacuzzi or the gazebo. I wouldn't want to be in a jacuzzi with Frank. But, you know, sit out there, smoke a good high-quality cigar, have a nice, regular conversation. And even if we lie, it don't matter, you know. As opposed to this lack of sober thinking. I meant to tell y'all this a few minutes ago. These two drunks were sitting around talking. And, you know, they got SpaceX and all that these days. And they've gone to the moon and stuff like that, right? And this drunk said, man, I got it figured out. I'm going to go to the sun. And his buddy said, man, don't you know you will burn up if you try to go to the sun? He said, no, but I got it figured out. I got it figured out. You see, I'm going to go at night. That's a good example of what's not sound thinking, man. But it seems right. You know, drunk tell you some stuff. You know, we all went on all kind of excursions because it sounded like a good idea at the time. Well, not sound. So we're trying to survive unsound thinking, man. And it's subtle. It's not that, you know, we got one of these, you know, we got this, they say it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. They are right. They are right. This disease will baffle you. Have you thinking you could go to the sun at night and get away with it? I don't believe you can get away from the sun at night with a tan as good as mine. And this thing about correcting the wrongs, right? Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to go apologize to somebody they did wrong. Nobody wants to do that. But what occurred is they change and focus and priority as I get closer in my partnership with my higher, they take on a different kind of importance. Like the first time I tried to apologize to this little lady, and, you know, we're adults, so I can tell you all this. She was drinking, and let's just say I took advantage of her because she was drinking. And I knew I had done that. And I got in here, and I heard all this good talk, and I thought that I would just go back to that lady and apologize for doing that. But my real motive was is to get back in good graces with her so we could do this on purpose this time. She wasn't having it. You know, matter of fact, I should have just left her alone, right? Because she probably wouldn't have remembered it, but I reminded her. She gave me the what for, man. And that was one of them early nights of recovery that before I met Mickey, I could have drank that night because she hurt my feelings. You know, we do hurt easy. Even if we're right, we hurt easy. That one didn't work. So I had a good idea of how not to do it. My sponsor told me, did you regret it? I said, yeah. He said, you sorry you did? I said, yeah. He said, well, don't do that shit no more. Excuse me. Don't do that anymore. And I didn't until I got to the point in the steps where it was proper. And my first amend was to the place where I left the bar with a $15 tab and went straight to jail that night for selling the stolen van to the police. And I got out of jail, got into the halfway house, got here, and on the way here I tried that crazy one with the little girl. This bar came up that I owed $15, and it was really the easiest one on the list once I got it written. And I had ground control, I had my sponsor, and I had instructions on what to do. Go pay the guy and tell him you're sorry for leaving. That's all you got to do. Just pay the guy $15 and tell him you're sorry for leaving that night. Get your butt back out here before things start looking familiar. And we went about this time of day, it wasn't crowded, and I gave him, I don't even know if we're the same guy, but I left all y'all a tab, here's the money, I'm gone. That was my first amendment, my first real amendment. It was San Susi Bar. Some of y'all might remember that place. It's not there anymore. Then the next major amends that I made was to my grandmother. She sent the $2,000 to the Free Jewel Lassiter defense fund for when I went to jail for selling the stolen van to the police. I took the $2,000 and went on a binge. Ended up with a volunteer lawyer when I went to court. So I had to take my grandmother back to $2,000. She always, you know, your grandma, when you coming home? When you coming home? And I love going home. So I went. And at the time, she was at the end of her life, and I was driving her around to say goodbye to all of her relatives because she had leukemia and she was going to die, and she hadn't told us yet. But the ride into the country was where I got to tell her everything I was doing. And I think I had about 2 years sober, and I told her, Grandma, I got 2 years sober, and some things I got to do. She said, that's right. I got 78 years sober. There's some things I got to do. Just go around there to Uncle Leroy's house. And live. She didn't pay me no attention, man. She didn't even understand what I was talking about. So I didn't know how to tell her I had screwed up the money. So I just gave it to her. I didn't tell her why. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. They said, I don't have to harm you if I don't have to. So I just gave her the money. The things about those two amends is that, and it's kind of simple. I really don't want to have to put myself through that anymore. Put myself in a situation, and I had a lot of them. Those weren't the only two. But the thing I got from them was that I just simply did not want to behave so as to end up having to do that again. Which means I had to make some better decisions. Here's where that sound thinking stuff starts happening, right? I would not realize the importance of making better decisions if I didn't see my own bad decisions and what they cost me and what they caused me. That's all right. I mean, you know, we're here. We going to do all right. You know, we don't, you know, that thing about faith, they say you don't need it a little bit. You just need decent portions of this. You don't need to get your whole meal right now. Just need decent portions. Is the higher power I have, he's just going to help you figure it out more and more. If you stay, this will come clearer and clearer over time. If you stay, not leave and come back. The Jamaicans say back to back, belly to belly, no in between. Just stay. Just stick around. It ain't bad in here. It ain't too bad. We pretty happy. You know, we would have used together if we was out there. We're the same kind of boat. You know what I'm saying? We think the same way. Believe it or not, we might look different, but we still got diabolical brains. We're still skeptical. You know what I'm saying? We're still imperfect. We're not completely right. I spoke over my brother's funeral a couple of years ago, and he died in the middle of a controversy. His daughters were mad at the women he were living with when he died. The women that he was living with couldn't go to the hospital, and it was a big controversy, and they tried to get me involved. You know, I looked like the mediator, right? I didn't want to get into it, but he finally died, and I was at his funeral, and I told him that there's a difference between perfection and progress. My brother was laying there. He's perfect. No more could go in, no more could come out. It's perfect. Right? As long as I'm living, I could improve or I can degrade. I could get better or I could get worse. I'm not perfect. As long as I'm alive, I'm not perfect. When I die, there's no more that can be done one way or the other. I'm perfect. So we really don't want to get perfect. We just want to get better. We want to make some progress. That's all we want, man. And we here at the NABBA Club and places like this all over the world, that's all we do, is just trying to get better one day at a time. You know, we can chip away at it. We got friends who can watch us, tell us our progress, tell us where we are. Some of our friends will risk our anger just to make sure we ain't going back in some of that unsound thinking. We do that, you know what I'm saying? That's what we do. And that's what I'm so proud to be a part of. Give y'all a little resume if I can. I came here and stayed 3 years, and my amends to me was to take the law school admissions test again. Again. The first time I took it, I partied all night, almost overslept, woke up just barely in time to get to the testing site, got my number 2 pencil, got my desk, went to sleep and slobbered all over the test. I actually did that. And I walked around with that resentment at me until I got here. And my sponsor and his sponsor and another 2 or 3 people in the committee convinced me to go take the test. Not to pass it, just to see that I could do it. That's all they wanted me to do. I did it. And then they connived me into making application to a couple of law schools, and I did. And I had excuses for 2 out of the 3. They were out of town. I'm in my 30s. I got a wife. Yeah, I can't do that. But there was one downtown that you could go to at night, and that's the one I picked. I went at night for 3 years, passed the bar, and I like to tell everybody I passed the bar by 1 point. And I tell everybody that's God's point. Because he could have left it even and I would have done fulfilled my recovery duties to my friends. I could have just moved on. I did it. I didn't pass. Da 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 da. Matter of fact, I was expecting not to pass. You know how we are. We're so negative, right? I passed the darn bar. I went to work for this guy in his office. Then I got my own office. And all of this is because of y'all now. This wasn't just me coming up with great ideas. I was going to meetings. I was listening to the right thing to do. I got involved in this case that ended up before the United States Supreme Court. Now, I did not know how you get to the Supreme Court. I just knew it was up there. Somebody had to nominate you, and you had to be accepted. And on the same day that Chief Justice John Roberts got sworn in, he turned around and swore me and about 25 other guys in. And now this drunk junkie can practice before the United States Supreme Court. All I had to do was pull out a card, and they would let me in the building. You know, I don't go up there that much, but it's good to know I can do it, you know, and, you know, but what is really, really more important to me than being able to walk through the doors of the Supreme Court is to walk through the doors of NABA on Sunday morning and go eat breakfast with my friends. That's what's really important. Me to tell my wife I'm coming to NABA and she don't wonder where I'm going. That's important. For me to get here, and there are friends like Philip and a few other guys that came in here with me that are still here. You know, a few that came after me, like Paul and a few other guys, Chauncey, that came after me that are still following, that are still trying, that are still hanging in there. You know, like Frank. You know, me and Frank have been watching each other out of the side of our eyes for decades. But we see each other here. You know what I'm saying? We know who each other are. If Frank needs something from me, he got it. And vice versa. Because we know each other's ilk. We know our basic thinking is the same. We ain't going to try to go to the sun at night. We just done learned to do better than that, right? This thing about awareness of God, I was on TikTok the other day, and this guy said he had a son with PTSD, and he said that whenever he had one of those episodes, he would get it right in his face and say, "Pay attention." And that's what I think the 11th step is really about. It wants me to pay attention to my higher power. It says, seek to improve my conscious contact, my conscious awareness of my higher power, not to leave it as a theory, not to leave it as a figment of somebody else's imagination, but to develop my own awareness of God. And if they put it in these steps, it must be possible. It must be an attainable skill. It must be. You know, it's too many guys, man. It's too many. And we don't walk around with robes on and doing all these rituals. You know, I'm a devout worshiper. I go to church. If I weren't here today, that's where I would be. But it's a little different here because we don't need what we need is practical relationship with God. We don't need theoretical understanding. I need to be able to say, thank you, God, and I know He's heard me. You know what I'm saying? I need to be able to tell somebody that little story I told y'all and not be afraid y'all gonna look at me like I'm crazy. I need to be able to share what my higher power did for me so you might be more willing to try the same thing. I mean, look, if you guys were, you know, in the Better Living Thing, Living Through Chemistry crew, we learned how to roll them funny cigarettes by watching somebody else do it. That's how we learned. Most of the bad skills I learned from watching somebody else do it. Now, why can't that work on good skills? You know, if you see, I ain't afraid to tell y'all I pray. Maybe you might stop being scared to pray. I do. I pray. I pray all the time. I'm like, thank you, God, that you didn't hit me. You know, when that guy ran the light, thank you, Jesus. Whew. I'm glad it didn't happen. And I had no power to stop it. It just didn't happen to me. Something's up with that. You know, you done made it 10, 20, 30 years, and you ain't get drunk? I'm a hedonist. That's what I think I'm supposed to be doing, is partying and getting drunk. But I don't even want to do it anymore. I don't even want to do it. I don't remember when I stopped wanting to drink. I don't even remember that day. I don't remember when I stopped being obsessed with you. I don't even remember when it happened. That was not me. That wasn't me. Something's up with that. Now, you know, I'm not going to try to get you to come to Christ, so don't worry. But I am going to tell you, you know, God is, you know, they put it, I mean, if it wasn't at least legitimate enough for AA, they wouldn't have it in our stuff. At least. That. Right? At least that. I figure if I'm going to do this, I might as well do it all the way. They suggest that you'll get a better understanding of your higher power. Maybe I ought to try. Let's just see what happens. Like I say, I ain't got no burning bush yet. But every now and then, I get a leaf floating around on fire. I do. That's enough for me. I'm trying to go till they bring me one of them pieces of paper saying I'm running out of time, but don't seem like they're going to do it. Y'all been trying to let me talk until 2 o'clock. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell y'all, my name's Jewel. I'm an alcoholic. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story with us. We appreciate it very much. And as a special gift to you, and it's AA oriented, this is the story of King Charles of New York, who was a Georgia boy who went up and found the town's hospital, which is where Bill actually saw his light experience and met Dr. Silkworth.
Wow.
I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Thank you.
This song goes out to 12 steppers all around the world, as well as to those who have gone before us and to those who may be on their way. They say it works when you work it, you know, and that we can only keep what we have by giving it away. Check it out. Okay, this song is gonna help you with your evolution. Only if you're sick and tired of the pollution. The steps that we take are all about solutions. They will even help you make your restitution. The steps can eliminate the negativity and at the same time accentuate the positivity. You may even comprehend the word serenity. Now we're gonna take the steps to our best ability. And the very first step is about a surrender. And you may even be a first time offender. Or you may be coming back from your last bender. But welcome to the club, you still can be a member. And step two, that's a power that restores sanity. It's greater than yourself, it's not about your vanity. Don't forget about the pain that brought you calamity. Now you owe it to yourself to take responsibility. When we get to step three, it's time to make a decision for our will and lives to undergo a revision. No longer do we have to feel a sense of division. We're on a new journey, so watch out for collision. Steps one, two, and three helps you build a foundation. But don't forget to cancel all reservations. Welcome to your new life, here's your invitation. But more will be revealed, what a revelation. Come on. When we take a step, we learn to free our minds. Come on. We practice principles so we can redesign. Come on. We keep it real simple, just a day at a time. Come on. We wake up in the morning and we're ready to shine. Hey. It's a natural high, and that's a matter of fact. Come on. We know deep inside there's nothing we lack. Come on. We live in the moment, cause that's where it's at. Come on. It works when you work it, so keep coming back. Hey. Step four is where you're gonna take your inventory. Now we're looking for the truth, not for fame and glory. Just put it down on paper, there's no need to worry. It won't be very long before you tell your story. And step five, take your fourth step and share it with another. Chances are you did some harm to your sister and your brother. The same thing goes for your father and your mother. Now we're living in the light, we're not hiding undercover. Steps, this is how we deal with our character defects. No longer are we twisted, now we're coming correct. We're building character and we can feel the effect. Now we have a second chance, so get ready, get set. In the seventh step, we learn about humility. We recognize our shortcomings and we find stability. But we gotta keep it real and keep it in reality. That's why we take the steps to our best ability. We take the steps, we learn to free our mind. We practice principles so we can read the signs. We keep it real simple, just a day at a time. We wake up in the morning and we're ready to shine. It's a natural high, and that's a matter of fact. We know deep inside there's nothing we lack. We live in the moment, cause that's where it's at. It works when you work it, so keep coming back. And step eight, we make a list of the ones we did harm to. We're cleaning up the past cause it's something we must do. It takes willingness and we suggest you follow through. What you're about to do is gonna change your point of view. Now in the ninth step, it's time to mend some fences. We step up to the plate about our past offenses. If we're gonna make it right, we drop all defenses. By now we have begun to regain our senses. The tenth step is all about the application, so that we can learn to face any situation. Remember that it's not about a graduation. You know the tenth step is really a continuation. Step 11, we begin to practice meditation. It guides us through the world like a navigation. And we're not afraid to ask for the inspiration, but we gotta keep it moving, there's no hesitation. In step 12, we practice principles in all our affairs. We try to be of help, especially when we share. Now we're living consciously, we are awake and aware. So take this message to another, let them know that you care. Come on. We take the steps, we learn to free our minds. We practice principles so we can read the signs. We keep it real simple, just a day at a time. We wake up in the morning and we're ready to shine. Hey. It's a natural high, and that's a matter of fact. Come on. We know deep inside there's nothing we lack. Come on. We live in the moment, cause that's where it's at. Come on. It works when you work it, so keep coming back. Hey. So there you have it, steps 1 through 12. Remember, you don't have to step alone. We step together one day at a time. And no matter what, we keep coming back. So until the next time, peace in, peace out.